This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. Gosh, that was rough. Email.
Your email.
Email.
And listen, you can always support the show online. You can share it with your friends and your family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
I remember when they first invented chocolate.
I always hated it.
You know, you don't realize how useful your voice is until it's gone.
Until it's gone.
And I don't remember the last time I lost my voice.
It's coming back. It's getting a little stronger.
I don't know if it's like a use it or lose it sort of thing, but I just don't remember. I don't feel like I lose my voice very often. Maybe every now and then I have bad coughs, but typically I keep my voice year round. There are times where I just like can't go as high. Like if I'm singing, I can't go as high. And then I got to bring David or somebody in. I got a gripe today.
Gripe.
I have got a gripe today.
I got a gripe today.
I'm a gripe queen. So I can't stay. Well, first
hold
off.
Hold on.
Welcome to the gripe vine.
Oh.
Here's one for you. That's
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So this is something I've noticed that Gen Z does a lot. All of the Gen Z staff does it here. My wife, who is a millennial, does it. And I know there are people who have done it who aren't Gen Z, but the majority of people that I talk to, I don't want to call them iPad kids, but they're definitely Gen Z. We're talking about something, right?
iPad kids.
And okay. I tell you what. Why don't you give me a conversation about your new phone? The new phone you just got.
Take a look at this phone that is my new phone.
Oh, this is your new phone.
Yeah, it's my new phone.
Okay. Yeah, I like this phone.
Yeah, will you just put it down?
Put what down?
My new phone.
Definitely.
That we've been talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you got?
I have this cup.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that cup.
I put stickers on it.
The stickers on your cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stickers on my cup.
Can I just take a...
Sure. Yeah. Oh, the cup is heavy.
I drink water out of it.
Out of what?
Out of my cup.
Sorry, I thought we moved on. I didn't know you were still talking about the cup.
We're still in the same conversation.
I can't stand when people, we're in the middle of talking about this object.
Yeah.
So when I start referring to it as it, all of a sudden they get confused. They're like, hey, can you just put it down?
You shifted to pronouns and I'm lost.
Yeah. It's like, hey, can you take the chicken out of the freezer? It's like, yeah, I'll take it out of the freezer. All right. Make sure to defrost it before you put it in the oven. Defrost what? Like that one didn't even make sense. What else would you defrost?
I have a...
Ellie will do that.
Really?
We'll be talking and I'll be like, hey, the trash pickup is at 6. She'll be like, okay, cool. Or like 7 this morning. She'll be like, all right, cool. I'm like, all right, so I just need to take it. Make sure you have it all ready. Have what already? the trash so I can take it to the road. She's like, okay, I didn't know if you're talking about something else. It's like, yes, I was just talking about the trash pickup is at 7, but I need you to have dinner ready for me. Or I need you to have that birthday cake ready. No, we're having a conversation about the trash. We're having a conversation about this thing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to think that I'm now mysteriously talking about
something
else.
Maybe they're multitasking and their mind just moves on to something else.
Maybe. Ellie's not too bad about it. David's horrible. Nicholas is horrible. Adam is horrible. Katie's okay.
Katie's okay.
But it's mostly it's Gen Z dudes. It's Gen Z guys, like boys. Melissa Suntegan is one of the worst ever.
Maybe it's a lack of listening on the front end.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe they're tuning me out.
Yeah. Maybe they're just responding, and then you actually continue the conversation like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, well, now that they have to do something, it's been revealed that they're not listening. Right. So it's like, hey, make sure you put that back in the cabinet. It's like,
Put what
back in the cabinet? What we were just talking about. That's true, because sometimes I've gotten frustrated and I've done that. Like with the worship team, I was like, hey, make sure somebody picks up the Martin, like the guitar, and take it off stage during the baptism. It's like, do what? Take what off stage? And so I'll say the thing we were just discussing, the thing I was just addressing the team about. They were like, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Maybe it's that's what it is.
You weren't listening.
Maybe
gotcha.
That's what it is. Maybe,
got you.
Maybe they're just tuning me out.
Yeah.
They're not listening. And then when they get a...
It's that blank head nod. Like they're there and they're participating in the conversation, but they're not actually listening.
I just can't stand that.
I have a tag along gripe. It's not exactly the same, but it is related to people who say what. Mm-hmm. It's let me give you an example.
Yeah.
So tell me, let me think about how to set this up. Tell me a story.
So I really loved when I took Gavin to the movies.
Wait, what?
I loved when I took Gavin.
Oh, when you took Gavin to the movies.
Yeah, we saw the Mario movie, and we were excited about the sequel because when it comes out, they're going to have like Yoshi. It's going to be all this really cool.
Wait, what?
They're going to have Yoshi.
Oh, Yoshi in the sequel when it comes out.
So you are hearing me.
Right. Yeah, you're actually listening. You are listening to what I'm saying. You're just processing slowly. Like, don't say what if you're not confused.
Yeah, like just process silently.
Right.
It's like
you can think about it inside.
They have to stop you while they buffer.
Right.
They have
exactly. to buffer all That's the what it is. They're buffering. They're buffering. It's that little rainbow wheel in my face.
Yeah, that's
I can't
frustrating.
Stand it.
That's,
I can't stand it. Process quietly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like, I think it's just something about people saying what. It just stops a conversation dead center. Yep. Like, imagine, I'm going to do that when Dr. Shaw starts the show today. When he starts to explain, I'm just going to be like, what?
What?
Something about that blank clue. And I know I've been a teenager.
It is like pulling the e-brake in a conversation.
It is. And I've been a teenager. I've been young. I've done all this stuff. I've been having someone, what?
Huh?
Oh, what'd you say?
Oh, wait, what?
But I don't know, man. Now that I'm on the other side, it's frustrating as heck.
You know,
maybe my parents were on.
You
something.
Know what's real fun?
What?
When your kids start doing that.
Oh, man, no.
I got a boy that's all but a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And
Does he do that?
Sometimes. Not all the time. Noah's pretty good about paying attention, but sometimes he'll be like playing a video game or doing something else, and I'll ask him to do something. He'll be like, yeah. Wait, what?
What? Huh? Yeah. I guess the root
your
of it.
Eyes and absorb the words that I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess people who is just taking too long for you to get on my level. Yeah. That's what the frustration is coming in, man.
Yeah. Write in and let us know your thoughts on people saying what and what are those encounters that you have had. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. And we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Pastor Abadan, with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's also...
Hold on. No,
I messed the whole thing up. Hold on one second. We're here in the
Clearview Today studio.
Yeah, you do it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Little maestro show you have us done. But no. We are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, something that really, you know why I got messed up there is I was so annoyed at what we griped about earlier.
Yeah. You were flummoxed.
I was kerflumped.
Yeah.
Have you ever been talking to someone, Dr. Shah, and out of nowhere at all, they're just confused?
Yeah.
It seems like to you, you're talking pure straight English, right?
Right.
And they just are all of a sudden they're lost.
Uh-huh.
So what I mean is like you're like, hey, I really love that shirt. And you're like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I got it at I don't know.
Who's Marshalls.
Walmart or Johnson & Murphy or whatever. You're like, oh, what other colors do they have? What other colors did who have? The store you got the shirt at. Oh, yeah. No, they had red, black. And it's like, why would you think that I changed the subject?
Yeah. I didn't change subjects that quickly.
It happens between husbands and wives.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why?
I have a theory on that. It's a very simple theory. Because we're not paying attention one bit to what you're talking about.
I said that. Same thing.
I think that's what we said before.
Yep. I'm not paying attention to you.
100%.
I'm not listening.
Not actually listening.
See, it's funny
I should be.
Instead of husbands, wives, I noticed that it's happening among Gen Z people.
Really?
I'll be talking to people, our Gen Z.
I think it's the same problem, though. Not actually listening.
What people?
What people are you talking about? Our Gen Z people here, like I was talking to Adam today. We were talking about the lights behind the stained glass. And I was like, I really like it, but that one in the top left is still dark. He's like, I agree. It needs to be moved over a little bit. I was like, yeah, but if it can be angled such, he's like, if what could be angled? The light.
the light.
One light. He's like.
No, the entire building.
Yeah. I was like the soundboard. Go angle the soundboard. That's what we were talking about, right? He's like, oh, yes, sir.
But I was
like,
funny.
The one thing that we were talking about, the light. He's like, which light? I'm like, Adam, the one in the top left. We haven't changed the subject yet. I don't know what it is, but like when you're talking plain to someone and they just all of a sudden are confused.
They're like, I left the building, but I'm back.
Yeah, I missed all that due to a lack of listening.
Yes, but it's like, how could you have checked out that quickly? I don't know, man. It's just annoying. And especially, like, I can imagine he's checked out.
You walked away. You left the room.
He missed the rest
of it. Leaving.
He's
leaving.
He's gone. He is fading away.
See you, bud.
Oh, my goodness.
The verse of the day today comes to us from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
That's one of my favorite doctrines, Dr. Shah, that I know you hit on from the pulpit a lot. And not just in daily life and daily encouragement is the assurance of our faith. You know,
yes.
We don't have to spend that time wondering,
right?
Am I truly saved? Is this truly real? We have that assurance.
That's why I'm not an Arminian, because in Arminian theology, you can lose your salvation. I've heard some really sweet, godly people say that. And I'm like, how do you function?
Yeah.
Do you have to go get saved all over?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the question is, what does saved mean to you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Saved is opening of the eyes to the truth of God. Saved is now my name is written in God's book in heaven.
Yeah.
Saved means now I have the Holy Spirit. To unsave me means I have to lose all of that. Mm-hmm.
That's such a great point.
It is.
You know,
I mean,
how do you function?
Yeah.
Someone on the worship team said that they started thinking differently because of something that you said to them. I won't say their name on mic, but I think you know who it was. But they were talking about it and they said, you know, I used to believe that you could lose your salvation. And I think you made the comment like you're closer to Islam.
Yeah.
Than you are to Christianity. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a very, you don't realize how close to Islam you actually are Islamic thinking that way.
Funny thing is somebody else also heard the same comment and I made that comment a while back. And I made it recently too, but a while back and they were upset about it.
Really?
So you're telling me I'm a Muslim? I'm like, no, I'm telling you that way of salvation is works-based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not grace-based.
I love that story you told about your father speaking to his grandfather, where he was doing his prayer, the five daily.
Right.
I can't remember what they're called, but
the namaz.
Yes. And he was like, wow, you're
You're so devout. You're so righteous. Yeah.
Right.
And he said, there's no guarantee that I'll
be in heaven.
Be in heaven.
Yeah. Right. And it was just because it all depends on God's mood that day. Allah's mood. Wow. That if he is in a good mood, then yes, you will get in. If he's not, it doesn't matter if you've done all five pillars of Islam, if you've done the Shahada a million times, which is, you know, there's only one God and Muhammad is his prophet. It doesn't matter how many times you've done all that, how many prayers you prayed, how many fasts that you have observed. If it's not God's will, then you won't be.
It's just totally out of your control.
Yes, yes.
Wow. That's heartbreaking. Well, you know, as we head toward the elections, as we're talking about how to bridge this gap, we've talked about this on the show before, but how to bridge, you know, our faith and politics. Sometimes people think those are opposing forces. They're things that, you know, never the two shall meet.
Right.
But in reality, this whole concept of separation of church and state is really a misunderstanding that we have.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
You talk about this in your book, Dr. Shaw, in which we said this on the show. I don't know why you guys haven't bought these yet.
Hold it up too.
We still have copies here, which means you haven't bought them. 30 Days of Praying for America, Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nation.
I was looking for my copy and one of y'all took my copy.
I think I snagged it.
No, it's okay.
So Daily Devotions to Heal Our Nations, it's a 30-day devotional that helps walk through, it's a revolutionary concept. It walks through American history, where we come from as a nation, highs and lows, and how God has had his hand on us, how we've been one nation under God. And it really is a remarkable book that you and Nicole have put together.
Thank you. It came out of a lot of prayer, thinking, and years of reading, studying American history, getting to the heart, to the spirit behind the foundation of our nation, what makes America unique and different. And there's a story. It's a good story.
Yeah.
And then there is the anti-story, which is really in vogue right now.
Right.
And then there's a story beneath the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this book is sort of dealing with a story beneath the story. It's not just a good story, but it's getting behind it and seeing the hearts of the people and the motivations of the people who founded this nation.
Right.
And throughout the history of our nation, you'll find people of all colors. That's the beauty of this book. All colors, yet holding the same virtues that made America so amazing.
That's right, because America is value-based. It's based on Judeo-Christian principles.
And different people from different backgrounds picked up on that.
That's right. I love that you point out that we are built on story. Every nation is built on a story, and they want to twist that story. There are people who want to twist that story to make it so that America is built on Christian white men oppressing everyone who's not a Christian.
Right.
White man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the story.
Yeah.
And it's a story that sells.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
So just to clarify a little bit, you know what I just said a few moments ago, there is a story and it's a good story. Mm-hmm. Then there is the anti-story, which is, you know, picking up a lot of speed. And then there's the story beneath the story.
Right.
The good story. Let me say a thing about the good story. The good story is like, oh, everything in the past was wonderful. Everybody loved each other. I remember the day when everything, you know, everybody, you know, you could just walk down the road and talk. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. Not everything was so rosy.
Right.
Okay. There were bad things that happened. Also, if you go further back to the foundation of our nation, people have the idea that, you know, God came down himself and laid the foundation of America. It was not like that.
Right.
There were some highs, as Ryan just mentioned, some highs, some lows. There were some bad parts to our foundation. Of course, slavery is one of those things. Mm-hmm. No one can ever defend that and say, oh, no, in some ways it was good. No, you can't say that.
Yeah.
It's not. And guess what? The founding fathers themselves acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm.
What is amazing to me is the more I go back and study the lives, the education, the background of the founding fathers, they were very, very, very intelligent people.
Right.
They were not confused about what they were trying to build here.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, this is just 300 years ago, right? 1776, 1876, 1970, less than 300 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I'm reading books that were written 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. This is just 250 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
These people did not think so radically different than how we think.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to writing whether the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of America, they could have very easily put in there only those who are coming from a Caucasian background or only those who come from European background. They could have very easily put that in there because guess what? in the some of the writings of the time, you find those kind of statements. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You find those kind of designations. So why didn't they?
Yeah.
Why did they say all men are created equal?
And,
why?
And, yeah, mm-hmm. and then that's what they'll say is they'll well they meant what they really meant was only white men who own land.
They could have very easily have done that because there were people who were writing things about other things, right. other issues that were not ashamed or not afraid or not confused about using that terminology. Why didn't our founding fathers who were coming from such varied backgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the New England background or the Virginia coast or the Highlands or, the mm-hmm. New Jersey, New York. They were coming from different background, different education. They were familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These designations. Why didn't they use them?
Yeah.
They didn't write it that way because they didn't mean that.
Right. They didn't mean
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It wasn't the nation they were trying to build.
Especially something like your founding document of your new nation. You don't go vague in that.
Yeah.
They were purposely putting in there all men, not just all white men or all European men or all Caucasian men. They didn't put it because they knew mm-hmm. this is going to be a new nation. It'll be different and it will be special, but it will be a nation founded on Judeo-Christian values. That they were not confused about.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, specifically in this conversation of where is the line between faith and politics? You know, we've all heard the separation of church and state. What does that truly mean? How have we misunderstood it? And I believe you have a chapter in your book, Dr. Shaw, chapter 13, that talks about this separation of church and state. And I love the title, False Separation.
Yeah.
Because there's no separation between
right.
church and state.
Right.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it a myth, but it's definitely not what people make it out to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's how we've understood it to be.
That's right. I mean, if you look at our nation's history, there is no such thing as a separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. The First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It was freedom of religion, not freedom from religion.
Right, that's right.
It's a very different idea.
And it's become freedom from religion. Because right. it feels yeah. like whenever American discourse is brought up or political discourse is brought up in America, faith is kept out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels like it's – and they do it under separation of church and state so that so it's basically like saying, listen, if you're bringing religion into this, you have to exit the conversation.
Yeah, you can't be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. I've been in situations where people have rolled their eyes. You know, I've been been invited in a public venue to give a speech or a graduation speech or things like that. And I will talk about the Bible. And mm-hmm. you can see most people are very happy. I would go on to say 90 to 95% of the people are like, yeah, that's right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Or nodding their heads. But it's that one person who will sit there and go, you know, all of a sudden uptight, like, what happened to you? You know?
Yeah. And the twisted thing is they do it under the guise of, we're protecting you.
Yeah.
We're protecting America by keeping you from speaking.
I'm like, you're really not.
It's just, you know, look at you. I mean, you don't understand the basic concept that this is not freedom of religion, freedom it's not freedom from religion, it's a freedom of religion.
Well,
so saying what I'm saying is not against the principles of what makes America so special. So it's that person who sits there and they have this, you know, rolling their eyes, mm-hmm. making faces, looking at you like, you are so ignorant. And I want to say, actually, it's the other way around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You should know we're not talking about freedom from religion, it's freedom of religion.
Right.
I do have the right to say this, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to force it down your throat. I'm simply making a point.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to point out that they invited a pastor to come and speak at this event.
If they had
if they invited some other religious figure like an imam or something, and they started talking about their religion, I don't think the outrage would be there, but that's a different conversation.
They'd be like, of course, because that's a religious person. That's a religious
naturally, he's going to bring his religious figure. Views into this.
It's like, yeah, but that's a pastor though. No, we're not having that.
Yeah, that's a
different
conversation.
And to be clear, it's not the people who invited me or the administration staff, you know, those, it's some person who is there because he got the invitation to come Because his niece, three times removed, is graduating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like somebody so random. Yep. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah. You're ensemble not- character number four.
True. But that does kind of play into what we were talking about earlier, like these stories that we've weaved in America. Because it's like you said, Ryan, if we invited an imam or a rabbi, well, they're okay. And I think the ultimate underlying thing that everybody believes is because they're the oppressed.
Right.
Christianity is the oppressor.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that came about.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this whole separation of church and state thing got so twisted.
Yeah. You
know? Because it wasn't originally written to be that way.
Well, the unfortunate thing is most of the time, you know, it's people in our camp that are feeding into this.
Now they are. Misunderstanding.
Here's another thing, because we filmed, I know we've talked about separation of church and state. We've done some videos on it too.
Yeah.
But people act like this is in the Constitution.
It's not.
This wasn't a letter. This wasn't a letter that Thomas Jefferson. Like, imagine you write an email to your wife, and I'm like, "That's church policy now."
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's law.
That's in the handbook.
Yeah.
It was written to the Danbury Baptists. Uh-huh. Okay. This was a kind of a religious minority in the state of Connecticut, and they were sort of experiencing religious persecution, which is very true. They were going through that because. Mm-hmm. The state religion was Anglican. Mm-hmm. And so they in their desperation for having freedom to be Baptist, they wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson asking for his help in disestablishing, okay? The Baptists were asking Thomas Jefferson to disestablish the state religion. Mm-hmm. Means, can you take this down?
Yeah.
So we can all have the right to worship as we want to. What is very interesting is that Thomas Jefferson wrote back to them and said there is a wall of separation between the church and the state. Mm-hmm. What he was saying is, I cannot get involved in state matters.
Right.
President Trump, you know, with all the Roe v. Wade issue going on, he brought the decision for or against abortion in the hands of the states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You decide. Now, mm-hmm. if you decide pro-abortion, okay. That's a decision the state has made. Mm-hmm. But states also have the right to say no to abortion.
Right.
Which previously under Roe v. Wade was taken away from them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Right? So the Danbury Baptists wanted this help, and he refused. Thomas Jefferson refused to disestablish the state religion.
Which is a big deal. You know, that's a huge deal, because you would think that someone from the federal government would jump at the chance to come in, swing their weight around and say, listen, I'm disestablishing this oppressive whatever.
Is what's happening a lot to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, true.
Right.
And I think that's what people want.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't understand it. I don't understand why they want so much federal control involving their lives. I guess they don't think it'll affect them.
But it will affect them.
Thomas Jefferson understood, like the rest of the founding fathers, that the government didn't come in and mandate or oppress or, you know, weed out religions like that. They didn't come in and levy their authority. But that doesn't, the separation of church and state that he writes about in that letter to the Danbury Baptist doesn't mean that Christians don't have a voice in the political arena.
That's the thing. That's the thing that gets me is like, okay, so even if this were federal policy, which is not, this was just in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to these people, that doesn't make it law, that doesn't make it policy, but whatever, let's say it is. It's him saying the federal government can't come in and tell the state church what to do.
Sure.
Right.
Where in your brain does it go, okay, well then we can flip that around and say that Christians can't talk about politics.
Right.
It's like, why do you think, even if that were true, why do you think that's the result?
Yeah, that is the conclusion of the matter.
Is this truly, genuinely, is this just popular opinion gone out of control?
Yes. Just the same way as when it says all men are created equal, then of course these are slave owners. This is coded language. Mm-hmm. This is them, you know, look, wink, wink at each other saying, hey, we're going to make sure, you know, we white men stay in charge. Really? Do you really think it's fair to say that to, say, John Adams? Would it be fair to say that to Thomas Jefferson?
True.
Was he really that kind of a person? Mm. Of course he owned slaves. I mean, all these people, if you really read their life story, many of those in who were responsible for the Constitution actually were not slave owners. Mm-hmm. And the ones who were, like say George Washington, of course, yes, he owned slaves. But one of the things he did on his deathbed is he freed all his slaves.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
What a statement to make.
It is. And it's a very privileged and arrogant position, I think, to think that me now in 2024, I would have brought these morals, these understandings back then, and I would have been the lone visionary who didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I would have set all these people straight in this culture that I was raised in, because for some reason, I guess I'm just a better person than the founding fathers.
Yeah.
And that's a misunderstanding and not understanding the heart behind these people. I mean, they were amazing people, and they were setting it up for us. And it's a shame that today, because of ignorance or some foolish bias, that we are talking bad about people who did us a favor.
True.
In many ways.
Very,
right?
Very true.
They knew there was a fight coming. They knew. And I mean, this nation fought a civil war over slavery. I mean, it's a big deal.
Right.
Right? And so we need to keep in mind some of these truths.
Well, you can take a step in the right direction by buying this book right here, 30 Days of Praying for America by Dr. Abhinav Shah and his wife, Nicole Shah. It's available on Amazon right now.
That's right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. John, what do you want to plug as our episode ends today?
Well, as a plus to this amazing book right here, you can also get our album, our debut worship album. I almost said 30 Days to Pray for America. Heaven Here and Now. It's available on iTunes and Spotify right now. Make sure you get your copy wherever digital music is sold.
Our debut album.
Our debut 30 album, days 30 Days of praying for America.
Love it. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.